This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Good evening. This is Mr. Sibutuku Joseph Samson. A very warm welcome to all grade 12 learners. I know that presently you are busy with your final examination, and tomorrow you are going to write your first paper. Let me just also indicate that, and good luck. Tonight, I would like to continue from where we stopped, looking at the examination structure question paper for paper 2 in geography, where the structure is similar exactly with the trial examination question paper. The trial examination question paper gave you the true picture of how the structure of the final examination will look. Let me just quickly outline the structure of examination question paper 2. Question paper 2 will be out of 150 marks, where we'll be assessing both theory and map work, and the duration of this paper is 3 hours. And in each paper, more especially now because we are focusing on paper 2, we'll have 3 questions which are all compulsory. We'll have question 1 and question 2, which are found in section A, and question 3 in section B. Remember, last time I indicated that question 1 for paper 2 will be settlement geography, where the focus will be on rural and urban settlement, whereas question 2 will be economic geography. That is the part that I'll be focusing on it today, more especially focusing on question 2. Because question 2 from this paper, it carries a lot of marks because it is out of 60 marks focusing on economic geography. Whereas in question 1, there is part of rural and part of urban, of which over there is a sharing of marks from those two models. Now, each of the 2 questions will begin with variety of short objective questions for 15 marks, and format for this question will vary. This is followed by 3 sub-questions of 15 marks. And each of the 2 questions will include the paragraph type questions for 8 marks. That is 4 multiplied by 2. That will give us 8 marks. The paragraph questions may not be answered in point form and will require insight and analytical thinking skills. And the paragraph questions can be in any of these subsections. And a variety of source material will be used. In this case, we can also have charts, graphs, statistics, tables, infographics, sketch maps, cartoons, photographs, case studies, and newspapers articles. Candidate must be able to illustrate all geographical concepts taught. Just because now we are looking at economic geography, we'll expect you to know all those concepts related to economic geography, like the gross domestic product, gross national product, per capita income. There are many of them. And please note, in the 15 mark sub questions, content tested could cover more than one aspect within a broader topic. Coming to section B for paper 2, we are going to have 1:50 topographical map extract and 1:10,000 orthophoto map extract will be used for testing purpose. Question 3 is based on map work. That is geographical skill and techniques for 30 marks and will be divided as follows. 3.1 will have map skills and calculations for 10 marks. 3.2 will have map interpretation for 12 marks. And 3.3 GIS for 8 marks. If you add them, you'll get 30 marks. And when coming to the issue of instruction, please observe and you follow the instruction, because this information is very important. You will find this instruction where it is indicated that question paper consists of 3 questions and all diagrams are included in the annexure. Where possible, illustrate your questions with a label diagram. Leave a line between the subsection answered. Start each question at the top of a new page. In other words, you're encouraged to know that if you start question 1, you start on a new page. Come to question 2, you start on a new page. You don't just start it immediately below maybe half page where you finish question 1. No, you start each question at the top of the new page, meaning that even when you come to question 3, you will have to start at the top of the new page. That is the instruction. Then you should follow that. And even the issue of numbering. Number your answer correctly according to the numbering system used in the question paper. Do not write in the margins of the answer book. And write neatly and legibly. And for the sake of map work, you must also use a magnifying glass. So, dear grade 12 learners, this is very important. I want to reiterate this. If there is a paper that you can pass and you get total, that is question paper of geography. Paper 2, this is where I am expecting you to excel. Possibly try by all means to work towards getting total, because we want to see a lot of you getting symbol A. That is the main objective. Now, while we are still focusing on the structure, you will have question 1 and question 2. Question 1, like I said, it will be focusing on settlement. Question 2 will be focusing on economic, and each question is out of 60 marks. Then 2.1, you are going to have short objective questions for 8 marks, and 2.2 short objective questions for 7 marks, 2.3 data response questions for 15 marks, and 2.4 data response questions for 15 marks, 2.5 data response question for 15 marks. And one of these questions for data response, you will have a one paragraph questions of 8 marks. It is can be either 1.2, 0.3, 2.4, 2.5. Expect a paragraph question. That is very much important, that I would like you to take that into consideration. And the structure of examination for this year is different from the structure from the previous years, because this year, theory and map work, you do it at the same time. And you are going to write this paper in the afternoon. Previously, paper 1, you were writing it early in the morning, and even the temperature was favorable early in the morning. But I want you to survive and adjust, because you will be doing it in the afternoon, hoping that maybe the weather will also favor you. But I know that you are a survivor. You are going to make it. And while we are still in the examination structure, let me just also indicate that just take your preliminary or trial examination paper. That is another good example that can give you a picture of how the structure will look like. That is very important. Let me just also take this opportunity to look at the structure of economy. You know that when you look at the structure of economy, we have got primary, we have got secondary, we have got tertiary. And I will be doing the comparison between year 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, because we need also to look at the frequent asked questions. So in 2017, focusing on economic geography, there was a question based on food security. That is something that you need also to look at when you prepare for paper two. And focusing on secondary, the core region, then it was Western Cape and Durban Pine Town. That was question 4.5. The IDZ, very quite interesting. They asked question based on IDZ. It was so general. I will also try to do it with you so that I can show you how those questions were asked. And then focusing on tertiary, they asked question based on tertiary economic activities in Gauteng. And 2018, focusing on economic geography, there was a structure focusing on beef, that was 3.5, and gold mining. And secondary, then it was PWV, and IDZ was East London. And there was also a cartoon on informal trade. And 2019, there was also a question on food security under primary. And secondary, it was PE and Richards Bay. And tertiary, there was an articles on informal sector. So 2020, there was a question under primary sector on cattle farming. Secondary, there was PWV and Saldana, and tertiary, there is informal sector. So if you look at the structure of 2020, it is exactly the same like what you will be focusing on it this year. Because under primary, you have got two options. You need to know those prescribed example of primary, which is beef. And under mining, then you need to know about coal for this year. And under secondary, you need to know PWV. And under the industrial development, you need also to know Saldanha Bay and West Coast. And when coming to the issue of tertiary, that is where there is this informal sector where you need to know about hawkers, spaza, those different types of example. In other words, if you can have to revise the question paper of 2020, even question paper of trial, that will make your task so simple when you prepare yourself for the final examination for this year. Just because if you look at the frequent asked questions, then you can check what, let's say 2018, where there was a structure based on beef. Let me just take this opportunity to take the question paper of 2018. And on that question paper, I want to look at the case study which was given to learners in 2018. So there was figure 3.5 on beef farming, given a title, 2020 and Beyond, a Vision for South African Beef Industry by Lloyd Phillips, 7 December 2017. In 2016, South Africa became a net red meat exporter for the first time, supplying mainly the cheap beef market. In 2016, the global red meat export amounted to 9.44 million tons. Brazil led the way, exporting 1.85 million tons, or 9.6% of the total. South Africa ranked 15th at 60,000 tons or 0.64% of the world total. The recent drought showed how crucial it was for the country's beef industry to stop focusing on exporting only cheap beef. By exporting high-quality beef, our industry can be protect itself from shocks that result in reducing profit. It must be noted, however, that with the current high beef price in South Africa, the country will be unable to compete against the likes of Brazil and other top beef exporters. This was just an article given to learners in 2018. It was figure 3.5. Now, this is how questions were asked. I want you to have a picture. The first question was, which country had the highest exportation of beef in 2016? So the answer was Brazil. Second question, quote evidence from the extract that suggests that beef industry is growing in South Africa. The answer was, South Africa became a net red meat exporter for the first time. 3.5.3. Refer to the statement below. By exporting high-quality beef, our industry can protect itself from shocks that result in reducing profit. In reduced profit. A. Why does the exportation of low-quality beef reduce profit? The answer is, make less money as poor-quality beef does not fetch high price. B. Suggest how farmers can produce high-quality beef. By improved breed programs, research will increase the quality of the beef, prevent overstocking, do not exceed carrying capacity, industrial beef cattle farming, regular vaccination to prevent disease, or regular health checks of cattle. There are so many of them. So I'm just giving you some few examples. So there is this question 3.5.4. Write a paragraph of approximately 8 lines explaining the factors preventing South Africa from being competitive with other top exporters. So even this year, export to have those paragraph questions. Like I advise you not to write on a point form. So just to focus on the answer. Water shortage reduces stock numbers. Regular drought reduces the amount and quality of stock for export market. Small scale or subsistence farming can result in less production for market. Commercial farmers abandon their farms and beef production decreases. Huge demand for beef within South Africa decreases export. Low government subsidy push up prices. Large distance to overseas market increase the cost of exportation. These are some few examples. But one thing that you should do, make sure that you have got 4 points, then you discuss around it. That's where you will score more marks. Now, let us take a short break. Question paper for trial. There was a question based on I hope that is question. Now, welcome back. Let me just also take this opportunity so that you understand the following things. When you are attempting these questions for under economic geography, back in your mind, you know that you are dealing with the structure of economy, which is primary, where there could be a question on beef or undermining on coal. Then you should also know factors that hinder agriculture, factors that also favor agriculture, because you will be focusing on cattle. Then while focusing on cattle, then what will be the factors that hinders beef production in that particular area? What are the factors that also favor beef production in that particular area? So with that background, it will help you to score more marks. Like if you know that under factors that hinder agriculture, there is climate, drought, diseases, wildfires, crime, labor strike, and so on and so forth. That will give you a better background. Even when coming to the issue of looking at coal, because this year the prescribed mineral is coal, then just also go in there having factors that favor mining in South Africa and factors that also hinder mining in South Africa. You can be given a case study, but some of those factors can be asked, and that will also help you to have strength on whatever you will be answering. Now, let me quickly now move to secondary structure of economy. Like I indicated to you that in 2018, there was a question based on PWV, and 2020 also, there was also PWV on the final question paper. So you can also use that example of PWV in 2018 just to try to check if you are in line with what is expected. Now, in 2018, there was an article also talking about PWV Gauteng Industrial Region, given a topic says, Gauteng to remain dominant in South Africa economy until 2017. Gauteng continue to dominate the South African economy, contributing nearly 35% to the national gross domestic product until at least 2017. It is noted that Gauteng provincial economy was 75% and was made up of tertiary sector industry, including trade and transport, finance, community service. The province was also regarded as the natural destination for international investors wishing to establish a springboard into Africa. The PWV Gauteng Industrial Region diversified manufacturing sector produced more than 50% of South Africa's manufactured export. The PWV Gauteng Industrial Region has a number of copper processing industry, which is supported by raw material from Phalaborwa SDIs. The diversified manufacturing sector, including copper, will face major challenges in the next 3 years, including challenges related to the energy provision, labor, under investment in capital equipment and technology. So, having said that, this was just an article. Questions were asked where from there learners were expected to answer. First question was like, quote evidence from the article to support the statement that Gauteng or PWV Industrial Region is a core industry. Two, discuss one factor that has contributed to PWV Gauteng Industrial Region being preferred destination for international investors. 4.5.3, Gauteng manufacturing sector is a major market for copper. Why is Phalaborwa SDI the main supplier of copper to Gauteng? B, how will Phalaborwa SDI benefit from strengthening its trading links with Gauteng? 4.5.4. Write a paragraph of approximately 8 lines explaining how energy provision and labor will become major challenges that the PWV and Gauteng Industrial Region will experience in the processing of copper in the next 3 years. Now, beside whatever it is on a case study, I will expect you to have this mentality. When you approach such article, just also come with an idea of knowing factors that hinders PWV industrial region in South Africa and factors that also promote PWV industrial region. If you have got those factors in mind, it will be so simple for you to answer such question. Just to answer very few questions, not all of them because of time. Quote an evidence from the article to support the statement that PWV is a core industrial area. Now, because it is contributing nearly 35% of national gross domestic product until at least 2017. And Gauteng, again, it produces more than 50% of South Africa manufactured export. That is another evidence to show that from the article that PWV region is a core industrial area. Two, discuss one factor that has contributed to PWV Gauteng Industrial Region being preferred destination for international investors. Good energy security, secure, uninterrupted energy supply. Many skilled laborers, unskilled laborers ensure a high level of productivity. Capital, technology to maintain high level of production. So where do you get this information? You also get this information from factors that promote Gauteng PWV industrial region. And you'll agree with me that there is also a well-developed transport system to transport raw material. OR Tambo provide access to international investors. So can you see that going to attempt question having factors that favors, you'll have more to answer. And if you look at Gauteng, flatland facilitate the development of new industry. Access to water resources is also more favorable. So those are things that you can also mention. But here, you were expected to discuss one factor. So I've mentioned more. So I also encourage you to say, if you study the factors that promote, factors that also hinder, that will give you the good idea to answer this. Now, Gauteng manufacturing sector is a major market to copper. Here we're talking about market. Now here's a question. Why is Phalaborwa SDI the main supplier of copper to Gauteng? You know that Phalaborwa and Gauteng, so there is a link. So in Phalaborwa, they are extracting copper, of which that copper can also be used to maintain the production over there in Gauteng. And the second question is, how will Phalaborwa benefit from strengthening its trading links with Gauteng? Just to answer A, for example, the Phalaborwa SDI, as the main supplier of copper to Gauteng, there is abundance of copper mined in Phalaborwa. And there is also a close proximity to PWV industrial region. And accessibility via roads or railway to from Phalaborwa to Gauteng is there. Coming to the issue of how will Phalaborwa SDI benefit from strengthening its trading links to Gauteng? It attracts more investors to the region. It creates more employment opportunity, and entrepreneurial skills are also improved. Skill transfer from Gauteng create a stable labor force and strengthening buying power, ready market for copper industry, and linked industry will also be improved and developed. So there is a lot of them. So I'm just giving you some few examples here. So while we are still on this secondary sector under economic geography, there was also a question on that is IDZ, which is Saldanha, in 2020. And in 2017, questions were asked which were too general with regard to IDZ. So you can also use the question paper of 2017 to look at the IDZ and how questions were asked. This will also help you. Let me just also take this opportunity to look at how questions were asked last year, more especially focusing on the IDZ, which is Saldanha. Now, question for 2020 November. There was a figure 4.5, which is based on strategies for industrial development, the Saldanha Bay Industrial Development Zone. 4.5.1. The first question was, name the new local investor in Saldanha Bay. 2. What will be the core function of new investor in Saldanha Bay IDZ? 3. State the physical or natural factor that could have attracted new investors to Saldanha Bay. 4.5.4. Discuss how the new investment project in Saldanha Bay IDZ would have a positive impact on transport infrastructure for 4 marks. 4.5.5. How will investment in Saldanha Bay have an impact on people seeking employment in this area? Suggest the social responsibility initiative a new investment company should have towards the local community. So there was a case study that was given a title, New Investment in the Saldanha Bay Industrial Development Zone. The West Coast Corrosion Protection will nearly double their workforce as they position themselves to grow the already established business with the support of Saldanha Bay Industrial Development Zone Fund. As a small or local company in the corrosion protection and support service industry, the WCCP, which is Western Coast Corruption Protection Service, a range of marine vessels in a number of ports across South Africa. Their new facility will provide a necessary base to expand the value and service offering to the marine industry. It will open doors to new market and customer. So the Saldanha Bay Industrial Development Zone has to date signed 11 lease agreements with an investment value of over 3 billion. The development of Saldanha Bay Industrial Development Zone is a key to unlocking industrial potential to the West Coast and Saldanha in particular. Skills program initiated in the Saldanha Bay Industrial Development Zone that focus on enterprise and contractor development have created a total of 2,199 individual training opportunity, with 88% of participants having already graduated. Together with this, the local community benefited from social responsibility initiatives. So, having said that, I also want to give you a picture of how questions can be asked, more especially focusing on Saldanha Bay industrial initiatives. And even this year, while you were doing your trial examination, there was question based on the industrial development focusing on Saldanha Bay, where question like, in which South African province is Saldanha Bay situated? Obviously, you know that Saldanha Bay is situated in Western Cape. Then, identify the special development initiatives linked to Saldanha Bay. When you answer this, take note of the following. Saldanha Bay is an industrial development zone. And next to Saldanha Bay, there is a special development initiative, which is West Coast SDI. Now, the question here is, identify the special development initiatives linked to Saldanha Bay. Obviously, the answer is West Coast SDI. 2.4.3, mention one social advantage from the extract of the SDI for local communities. So, local communities get access to service rendered in large cities or settlement. 2.4.3, explain why Saldanha Bay Industrial Zone has potential for economic growth. So, there are international stakeholders investing in the IDZ, and its port is well situated for the oil and gas industry in the west coast of Africa. Again, its location creates a link to African and international market. It has deepest port in southern hemisphere to accommodate even the largest vessel. So one, or you can also answer two out of these. So focusing now on 2.4.5. Remember, this is questions based on your trial examination. State two economic advantages of establishing Saldanha Bay IDZ to West Coast. The two economic advantages in this case, we have got creating of job opportunity for skilled and unskilled laborers, one. Number two, infrastructure development of the surrounding area. In other words, because of this, there will be railway lines, there will be industries, there will be good roads, there can also be colleges that can also be established to support the skills in that particular region, just to give an example. And again, it attracts the foreign investment into the region and linking the region to the international market through export. So you can write any of the two economic advantage. Then 2.4.6, discuss the negative environmental impact of oil and gas industry to Saldanha Bay. Having said that, you know that if you have got industries, what are the negative impacts which are caused by oil and gas industry? Obviously, oil and gas cause pollution to the harbor. Oil spill cause death of aquatic animals. And again, the concentration of heavy metal particles, oil, destroy the fishing industry around the bay. And contamination of fresh water resources caused by oil and gas industry. So, having said that, you need to focus on the negative that can be caused by oil, that can also be caused by gas, because all those two minerals can also cause what? Pollution. Let us take a short break. Now, welcome back to our last part of our lesson, where I would like to say the following things with regard to informal sector. While you have got informal sector, for 2020 November, there was a case study or an article given to learners where it read as follows. Informal trade is dominated by women in most countries. South Africa informal retail sector is made of around 750,000 informal micro retailers, mostly women, operating from home, spaza shops, and street vendors. they generate a total revenue of 31.8 billion per year. Providing support to the informal sector could help South Africa relieve some of the unemployment pressure. There are few barriers to ensuring the informal sector. It provides in many of the local communities' basic needs. Now, when you have this in mind, you need to know what is informal sector, even the examples of informal sector. So, questions which were asked last year, the first question was to give an example of informal trade. Now, the example of informal trade here, that could be a street vendor or hawker or spaza shop. Second question was, how many people in South Africa are involved in informal retail sector? According to the article, it was 750,000. Question 3. Quote evidence from the extract to suggest that informal sector in a much easier option to gain employment. Because when you have got informal sector, there are few barriers to enter the informal sector. And operating from home, like spaza shop. So, the next question was, according to the extract, why are so many women employed in the informal sector? So, women have to fulfill domestic duties, and informal sector allows them to do both from home. You will find that a woman is also doing her family chores, and she's also having a spaza shop. She can also do the same. Now, there are few barriers to entering the informal sector, because in a formal sector, they will need a license. In a formal sector, there's a lot of things that they need to know about you, about your business before you enter. But if you look at the informal sector, there are few barriers when you enter the informal sector. Informal market is lucrative and provide easier employment opportunities. And again, there are a small number of women have required education and technical skill for jobs in the formal sector. As a result, they end up doing jobs or employed in the informal sector. Women normally have to head up household as breadwinners, as single mothers. So that is why, according to the extract, women are in majority employed in the formal sector. Again, flexible hours allow women to perform business and domestic duties. And again, gender inequality in the workplace causes less women to be employed. Generally, there were jobs which were made for women, for men. Say, for example, like bricklaying, mechanic and whatsoever. So that informal sector, it was just like an opportunity for women just to make money. Instead of being hired in the big companies, they were also doing what? Working in the informal sectors, working as hawkers, working the spaza shop, working as street vendors. So same applies with the question paper for 2020 focusing on informal sector. Even for trial, questions were asked to help you learners to understand about informal sector. There was a cartoon given to learners based on informal sector. And the first question was, define the concept informal sector. If you want to define what informal sector is, you should actually know that is a business activities that are unregistered and do not pay tax. True. State one reason from the extract that result in people becoming informal sector. That is the issue of relentlessness, rise in unemployment. 5.2.5.3 explain the possible rights and protection that are denied to informal traders. The answer is they are unregistered workers without benefits. Again, banks are unwilling to grant them financial assistance. They work in unsafe condition or environment, unsafe working condition, and people who are working in the informal sector, they are also the victims of crime. And they do not have proper facilities or services. Like, just to give you an example, they can also be selling their things along the street where they are not working under the buildings. Let's now check 2.5.4. How can the government improve the working condition under which informal traders operate? The entrepreneurial skill development. In other words, these people need to be trained so that they also know how to run their business professionally. Ensure safety standards are enforced for all workers. Provide facilities, service for informal traders. Just to give an example, sometimes they can be working on the street where there are no roofs over their head. Come rainy season, they suffer. Come hot, scorching day, they suffer. And again, the government can do something so that they can build shelter for the hawkers so that they can work in a professional way. Again, better policing to limit crime. In other words, because they are also exposed to crime, where people can, like, let's say, for example, if they are selling things along the street and there is a strike, some people can also loot their items. That is why we're talking also about crime or something like that. So government can also ensure that they protect them. 2.5.5. Discuss the interconnectedness association between formal and informal sector in the economy. So the formal sector contracts workers from informal sector in order to save on labor cost. And again, informal traders purchase their goods or stock from the formal sector. That is some of the few examples that we have. So let me just take this opportunity to thank you all for listening, thanking Capricorn FM Department of Education for allowing us to help you to have this catch-up program, and have a blessed night. Thank you very much, and wish you all the best for tomorrow Geography Paper 1 paper. God bless.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.